Maybe not again. Maybe I didn't say it yet. I don't know. Anyway, it's always good to see you on Wednesday night. I agree with Brother Matthew. Too much distraction. And that happens sometimes, but it doesn't mean we don't want to address it. Amen. I want to direct your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. I do want to preach what's on my heart. And this probably would be a good night not to talk while I'm preaching, or you might get stung while I'm preaching. Now, some people don't care about getting stung. That's okay. Then I'll walk right up to you and make sure that you do. Is that okay? Can I have your permission to just preach tonight? It won't be harsh at all. 1 Corinthians 13 and 11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, if I were to rewrite that in 2026, I would read it this way. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I continued to do childish things. And well into my 20s and 30s, I sat down and just played Xbox all day. And I was always interested in the latest and the greatest video games that were out there to store. And I spent all kind of money on games on my phones and all that. And I just continued to be a child. There's a reason this is in the scripture. And so I want to preach to you on this topic tonight. Grown-ups don't play cops and robbers. And I'm going to ask you to pray for us one more time.
Gracious Father, we need you tonight, Lord God, to just clear our minds, Lord God, to make a way for your word to come forth as you see fit tonight, Lord. God, be with us in spirit,
hallelujah,
Lord
Jesus.
And God, may we just be in the spirit, glory, Lord, with
glory,
you.
Glory, 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 hallelujah,
you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
God, use Pastor, Lord, as you see fit tonight, Lord, to bring forth this word. God, I ask that each and every one of us here tonight, Lord, and those that have tuned in online, receive it, Lord, with a good manner, Lord Jesus, Lord, knowing, Lord, that your word, Lord, is above all else, Lord Jesus. God, and I ask that each and every one of us here tonight, Lord, God, continues to just focus in on your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Can I ask you to sincerely give me your undivided attention for a few minutes tonight? If I were to summarize this scripture, I would say it this way. Spiritual maturity means we stop playing spiritual games. Faith becomes serious, disciplined, and responsible. Children pretend, adults prepare. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, two verses. Now, if you were to take the first verse that we read and this verse and put them together, I think it would tell a small story. When I became, don't go back, just stay where you're at. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. And then Ephesians, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. There's plenty of scripture that warns us to stop acting like children. And so the fivefold ministry, this right here, the microphone, the preaching, the evangelism that will be happening next week, and the teaching slash prophetic word that will go forth next month when Pastor Hartpool gets here again, and then so on and so on. The combined service that we'll be doing at the end of this month with several other churches here. All of those things are so we stop acting like children. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I got a problem with parents that treat their children like children, but then they want everybody else to treat them like they're adults. I got a problem with parents that want to coddle their children. I asked you if I could preach, and you said I could. and want to pamper them. And the first time someone looks at them sideways, you want to go ahead and have a church meeting because somebody was mean to your child. And then you wonder why at 20 they're still acting like a little child. You wonder why they don't have a prayer life. You wonder why they don't even know the Bible, because we've treated them like children. And then I got a problem when those children become young men and young ladies, and they're still out spending their money on video games. I'm going to preach at you for a couple minutes. Especially those of you that are married. You want to get married, stop acting like a child. You married couples, you couples getting married. You are married now. You are not supposed to be sitting there until 2 o'clock in the morning playing video games. You are a married young man or young woman. Can I preach for a few minutes? I'm not just preaching to them. See, I got a whole lot of people upset at me right now. Now, I'm not saying you can't ever sit down and ever play a game. I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm saying it can't be your lifestyle. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to just say it, and I'm not even going to apologize for it. And I don't care if people online like this or not. If you're not giving into your building fund and you're buying new video game systems, you're a child. You're a child. I don't care if you buy it used, new. I don't care what it is. You don't act like a child. It's time to act like a grown-up. Now, I'm not just preaching to the young men, young ladies, so just give me a couple minutes. Understand, I could preach this anywhere, but I'm here to preach to our church tonight. Children. Says, so we have this fivefold ministry, so we're no longer like children tossed to and fro. What does that mean, tossed to and fro? Well, you would call it up and down. Spiritually high today, spiritually in the dumps tomorrow. On fire next week, in the dumps the week after. Don't know if you love your church or if you hate your church. Don't know if you love the pastor or you hate the pastor. Based on how you're feeling, based on how he preaches, that determines how you, kind of like a child. That's what a child does. You buying them Christmas presents, they love you. When you're grounding them, they hate you, and they hate their life, and they hate their home, and they wish they could live with Johnny's mom because they're so immature. They don't understand that Johnny's mom's probably worse. Can I preach? Children are easily distressed. Now, when I say children, I want you to think about us. We already talked about distraction tonight. Children are easily distracted, and they're unstable. That's what this scripture means. We'd be no more like children tossed to and fro. Mature Christians become steady and grounded. Mature Christians don't sit in church service and the whole service. Mature Christians don't get up and walk out 3 and 4 times. I just want to preach. I really need your permission and your help. Mature Christians don't come to church and miss church and come to church and miss church. That is not what a mature Christian does. God, I feel like I could really preach if you, and you always let me, and I appreciate it. And anybody else out there in video land, you know, I'm preaching to you too. I'm not just saying PCC is a bad church at all. I'm just preaching what I feel like I should preach. Mature Christians don't waver from one day to the next. Mature Christians know how to pray. We got people that aren't here tonight. They're backslidden out there in the world. You know why? Because they always make excuses why they couldn't pray. Here's a dime for the offering plate. If you lost it too late, it's going in the offering plate. Really, there are people I've listened make excuses for their prayer life, and they're backslidden in the world today. Why? Because they never prayed. Mature Christians pray. Mature Christians don't make excuses on why they can't pray. Well, the Lord, no. Stop what the Lord understands. You never even ask God for a word. Knock that silliness off. God don't understand. Read your Bible. Tell me God understands you don't pray. Mature Christians know how to pray. Listen, what I want to do is I want you to be honest with yourself when we're done. I don't want you to leave here and beat yourself up. I don't want you to leave here and think, oh, Pat, because I haven't called anybody out by name yet. I want you to analyze yourself and decide where you are in your journey and your walk with God tonight. Mature Christians can be honest. They don't get offended. They can be honest. They don't deal with the same struggles for 5 years. It's not the devil. It's uncrucified flesh. Period. Uncrucified flesh. Just let me pray. I know when God shows me things, and I'm never wrong. You can take that however you want. I'm never wrong. I'm not. I sat at a table years ago teaching a Bible study, and I felt nudged of the Holy Ghost in the middle of Bible study. I turned over, I pointed to the computer, and I said, "There's pornography all in that computer." The parents sat there and they looked at me and said, "Well, you're probably right." It wasn't just a few years later, their son molested another child. They're all backslidden today. The daughter called me several years after they all quit church to tell me, "How do I make a police report? I want to report my other brother that's been molesting me since I was a child." I know when I feel stuff. And this week, there was one young lady in church and her husband was at home. And I felt the Holy Ghost tell me he's at home in pornography right now. God, I could preach. Because I know when the Holy Ghost shows me stuff. Brother Klein, you know what I'm talking about. Brother Kale, you know what I'm talking about. Mature Christians don't sit at home and do those types of things and hide. I'm not here to preach you into hell or heaven tonight. I'm just telling you, you got to look at yourself tonight before this is over and decide who you are. Because if you don't, you'll be following all the other backslidden people right out the door. You'll follow your backslidden mother, your backslidden father, your backslidden aunt, your backslidden uncle, your backslidden brother, and your backslidden sister. And you know what you'll do? You'll be doing the same thing they're doing, justifying why you're okay. God, I could preach. So children aren't distracted and unstable. Spiritual, mature Christians aren't easily distracted and unstable. They learn to focus. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Did I read all the verses there? If I didn't, oh well. Hebrews, did I even read them at all? I'll go back. Yeah, I did read that. I read verse 14. You're fired. You're rehired until service is over. Hebrews 5 and 12. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. So you can flip the page there, but I'm just going to say this, as I've said it before. If you cannot be preached tough things without getting offended, you're a child. Spiritual, mature Christians don't get offended. That's what tough meat is. That's what tough meat is. Children, spiritual children, they always want suckers and candy. Feed me something good, something sweet, something will make me run, something will make me hop. But mature Christians, and that's what, I'll be honest with you, it's one thing I've always appreciated about our church. Our church really likes honesty. They do. And I value that tremendously. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So leave that up there for a minute. So a spiritually mature Christian does not need you to preach about sin from the pulpit, because you already know it's sin. And you're already dealing with it. A spiritually mature Christian will get on themselves when they fall. They don't need God to take a detour and a message to get on us. Well, they get on themselves. And that's what we do. We all fall short of the glory of God. We know that. But a spiritually mature Christian says, "Okay, God, I have fallen short. God, I act like a fool. I've acted like an idiot, and I need you to help me." It's okay to call yourself an idiot. I call myself an idiot all the time. And some of you call me an idiot too. You know what I'm talking about. And so he says, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Children need feeding. Grown-ups feed others. Mature Christians, you ready? Teach Bible studies. Spiritual babes are always looking for another Bible study. I'm not saying that you shouldn't look for a Bible study, but at some point in your life, you should be the teacher and not the student. At some point, that's how you grow a church. Listen, I told the Conneaut Church on Sunday, and I got to be honest with you, I'm really frustrated right now. Not tonight, I'm saying, but because I just feel like we don't have any new babies walking into our church. And I told them, I said, listen, I said, you can come on in. It's all right. Come on in. You can get the rest of the message. Tell them to come on in. There you go. Don't worry about it. I want to make sure you get in. I'm preaching a good message. I want you to hear it. Do you know that Jesus is the one that sat there as the woman washed his feet? He made a sermon out of it. Jesus is the one that healed the lepers. Jesus is the one that healed the ruler's daughter. Jesus is the one. What am I saying? We already talked a few weeks ago about the woman at the well. What am I saying? When the world needed to be one, Jesus did it himself. He wasn't waiting on other people. Jesus wasn't looking. He wasn't even calling the apostles. Said, all right, men, this is why I put you in leadership now. I need you to come on. We got to win some people. What am I saying? You and I are how the church grows. If the church isn't growing, don't blame anybody. Don't say it's because, well, the church is just dead. Well, did you look at yourself? The church can't die as long as people are living in the Lord. As long as people are living in his light. And they're not living in dark. We are responsible. What happened that the church has not become intense about evangelism all the time? People all over this world, I'll tell you why, especially in ministry, people have become more addicted to the pulpit than they have to just teaching people. It's truth. Hey, I'm at the pulpit. I preach to myself. It's a fact. And so, mature Christians teach Bible studies more. I should preface that. More than they are seeking another Bible study. I could even say it this way. Spiritual babies are running all over the country looking for the next prophet. Mature Christians know God will send the word of prophecy to you. You don't chase it down. You don't got to go online, listen to 19 videos till you find the exact word. Oh, bless the Lord Jesus. God gave me a word. I'm just being honest. I'm just being real. 2 Timothy 2 and 22. It says, flee. Oh, why'd you put it on the screen? Here, man, he's fast. Flee also youthful lusts. Can I preach? Don't entertain it. Don't play games with it. You're going to lust from time to time. You're a human being. It's probably going to come knocking on your door at some point. But you know what you do? You do what Joseph did. Joseph was a mature Christian. You run. You run the opposite direction. Now, I understand some people say, well, Joseph was there and he shouldn't have been there in the first place. I don't know if he was there and then she walked in, or if she was there and he walked in and all of a sudden he got cold feet in the middle of it and thought, what in God's name am I doing? And I don't know. All that matters, Joseph ran. Joseph didn't sit there and flirt around with sin. He didn't sit there and play with it. No, he ran. Flee youthful lust. That doesn't mean a young person. That means flee lust in its infancy. Flee lust before it takes root. Remember what the Bible says? Every man is tempted and drawn away of his own lust and entice. And sin. Well, my mind's failing me here. Someone help me out. I got too much stuff in my head. Anybody got it? I got the end, and my brain just crashed on me. Pull up the scripture, somebody, so we can read it. What verse is it? What verse, Sister Pat? Every man is tempted and drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and lust, when it hath conceived, brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. It's a process. And so lust in its infancy, you don't have to go home and beat yourself up and bang your head off the wall. You deal with it right there. You run from it. A spiritual, listen to me, I'm going to tell you who you are tonight. You're either a baby in the Lord or you're a grown-up. Spiritual grown-ups, adults, grown-ups do not flirt around with lust. They deal with it. They deal with it. They run from it. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Children play with danger. Grown-ups run from it. And when you put that in a literal sense, it remains the same. Kids play with, they'll sit there and play with a firecracker. And they won't have enough common sense to throw it because they don't know what it is. They'll play in the street. They'll play by the train tracks. But we know we see all over our world, we see grown-ups getting killed by trains. And I don't say this to, I haven't called it, you know why? Because they never grew up. You wouldn't catch me dead playing by train. When we went hiking, we're on these real narrow parts. It's a 6,500-foot elevation up there. And we're in these real narrow parts. And me, I guarantee you that my whole family probably was so tired of me after that trip. They went, and I'm like, hold on. Hold on to that railing. They put it there for a reason. And I'm preaching to them, Brother Edwards. I'm telling them, hey, listen, there's stories all the time. People falling off cliffs. They're dying. Now, I'm being said, oh, my God, Dad, we're not going to die. Oh, well, you are if you don't listen to me. Why? When you're a spiritual adult, you understand danger. You understand when danger comes knocking on your door, and although it might be nothing now, you know if I play with it or if I'm careless with this, I could wind up falling off this cliff and losing my soul. Spiritual adults, they're always mindful of eternity. Spiritual babies, I don't think one bit about eternity. When's the last time you heard a five-year-old talk about hell and heaven? Not much, because they don't understand the concept of it. Not until you tell them. What am I saying? You should always be mindful of your soul. Always be mindful that God could take you at any moment. Any moment. And are you ready? Are you ready? And you got to be able to answer that honestly as well. So children play with danger. Grown-ups flee from it. Mature believers run from sin instead of playing around it. And that was, again, Joseph. 1 Corinthians 9:24 is my last text, but I'm not done. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? This Christian life is not a game. It is a disciplined pursuit of truth, holiness, righteousness. And yes, that means you might not be able to spend every day playing and having fun. It is a disciplined life. We teach ourselves to be disciplined. And we pursue, we go after. It won't fall in you. Righteousness will not fall in your lap. Holiness will not fall in your lap. Remember, spiritual babies, they sit at home and they wait for mom and dad to bring the food from the grocery store and then to cook it and prepare it. But when you become a spiritual adult, you know you got to go to the grocery store yourself. Without just throwing a bunch of microwave dinners in your cart and going back home so you could jump back on the next Xbox game. Talk to any mother, and they're always worried about the, I don't even know how many major food groups there are. Is it four? I don't have a clue. My wife is the only one in the house that worries if we eat healthy and live and die. The rest of us, all we want to do is just shove food in our mouth. Is there four? Hey, see, none of the guys know. Matt's like, I don't know. There ain't a guy here that goes, how many are there, five? Five. I don't even know what they are. Meat? Vegetables, you know? You don't know because all you eat is peanut butter and salad. That's it. What are they? Meat, vegetable, bread? Bread is a part of the major food groups? Thank you, Jesus. Grain, dairy, and sweets? Hey, Kenny, you were doing good, man. Sweets, honey? Sweets? There's not a woman that agrees with you, Kenny. I would put the phone away. I just really would. I would. I wouldn't even go in there because there ain't a woman here that's serious about their children. They know exactly what they're talking about. See, it's the women that keep us alive. Why do you think women live longer than men? They're just a little smarter when it comes to food. I can't deny that. Anyway, Christian life is not a game. It's a disciplined pursuit. Grown-ups, listen, grown-ups do not play cops and robbers. You can't fight spiritual Goliaths with a squirt gun. You can't. You'll never have spiritual authority with a plastic toy badge. The reason if we're not winning spiritual battles, if we're not getting victories, it's because we are playing cops and robbers and we're not really in this thing the way we should be. I believe that. And I'll start with myself. It's time that we fight the good fight of faith. I was thinking about that today. And I thought, children don't walk in faith. That's a choice. We choose to walk in faith. Children have an element of faith just by their very nature. Children will take any amount of money that you give them and throw it in the offering plate. They don't care. They're not going to say, are you sure you have enough to pay the mortgage? Are you sure you got the car payment paid before I take this up there? I want to make sure. Did you balance the budget, Mom, today? No. They're going to say, these girls, they're out. The kids from the daycare. Every service now, and I fail them almost every time, they run up to me and they say, give me some money. An offering time. Don't shake your head. I love it. I love it. Tonight, Kari runs and she says, give me money. She says, or give me the tap thing. I love it. And I told him, listen, next time you got to remind me before service so I can get it ready and I don't let you down. What am I saying? Kids, but when they get older, they don't do the same thing. Because as you get older, as you become more cognizant of things, as when you become responsible for the bills, I could take that a whole different direction than I should not. But when you do, that faith thing just doesn't work as easy as it used to. Well, honey, are you sure we can give into the building fund? Are you sure? Do we have enough money to do that? Are you sure? You know, God doesn't, some of y'all had these conversations recently. Well, God won't ask you to. And then here we go. We're so smart. We say what God would ask. Haven't read about Abraham and Isaac for a long time. Last time was in Sunday school. Let's just talk about the blessings of God. Let's talk about that. That's what we like to talk about. But we don't talk about, a spiritual, mature Christian likes to talk about the sacrifice as much as they do the blessings. You know why? Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's what the word says. Do you know why? We can all celebrate Jesus' crucifixion, as I say all the time, but he went to the cross and he suffered because he put everybody else above himself. He wasn't sitting there playing games. He wasn't sitting there acting like life is no big deal. Wasn't trying to find the perfect job. That's the big thing today. Well, I really need a job, but I can't work this day, and I can't work that day, and I can't work this day, and I can only work these hours, and I got to do this, and I got banned, and I got this, and I got this, and I got this. Ask any employer. Now, I'm not saying sometimes you don't need some flexibility in your schedule. It was never that way before. But our world has not matured. It has become more infantile. We choose, grown-ups choose to walk by faith. When we put an offering in the offering plate, we either just throw something in there or we choose to be calculated on what we do. Remember, whether you agree or disagree, you are wrong, and I'm not joking. This whole theory that Cain's offering was rejected because it wasn't a blood sacrifice is nonsense. There was no law. Cain's offering was rejected Because Cain just threw something together and threw it in the offering plate. It wasn't calculated. But Abel was very careful. He chose the firstling of his flock. Don't tell me that God would reject an offering when he gave no law and no instruction whatsoever. They came right out of the garden. There was no blood sacrifice in the garden. Don't tell me it's supposed to be inherent. No. These things are not inherent. They're taught. Faith is taught. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Spiritual, mature Christians are calculated. They don't just throw offerings in, whether it's a quarter or whether it's $2,500. They're calculated. You know why? And I appreciate all of you so much. I didn't even know the cards were turned in. I haven't seen any of them. But I know many of you have calculated what you were going to give. I'm not saying you sat there and you, well, can I do this? Can I? No, no, no. You gave what you feel led of the Lord. You made pledges. Some of you are still doing it. Some of you have already done it. But that's why I feel like this building program is more than about space. I feel like God is trying to say to people, it's time to think big, and it's time to think with faith. It's time to walk in faith. It's time to stop giving children-sized offerings. It's time to trust God. It's time to grow up. Abraham was not the same man when he left his home. God had brought him to a place where God said, I'm going to require more from you, because whom much is given, much is required. And I'm going to require more. And I'm so tired of hearing people say that God would never ask that of you. That is such a farce. There's nothing biblically rooted about that statement. God will ask everything of you if you'll give it. Why? Because we're not laying up our treasures here. We're laying our treasures up in heaven. We're not laying our treasures up in earthly things. We're laying our treasure. And that's why I feel like this year, listen, we will win giant battles if we grow up and stop trying to play cops and robbers, and we start walking in God's authority, walking in God's anointing with his covering, and that requires discipline. That requires submission. I could preach to some of you right now, but I won't call you out. You know who you are. The reason you're here right now tonight, and the reason God has made these changes in your life as of late, is because God is trying to discipline you and teach you to be more submitted so he can give you a greater level of authority. But it will never happen if you continue down the same path. And I'm not talking to one person. I'm preaching to myself. I'll preach to me if I don't preach to anybody else. I felt this in the Holy Ghost tonight while I was preparing this. I was a little, I'm not done, so don't get excited. I was a little frustrated when I heard as late as today, that the government in Iran was not going to topple as easily as they thought it was. And there's options they have, whether they exercise them or not. I don't know. I'm not making those decisions and don't want to. But just about a week ago, not long after this thing started, 3 or 4 days after, I read something that it struck me. And I haven't forgot it. And here's what it said. It said they cannot bring the government of Iran down doing what they're doing because they built a system that was bigger than any one person, any one leader, any one government body. They said they built a system that outlives everybody. And I thought, God, honey, can you come? I thought, why are we not doing this as Christians? Why can I get up and preach about our seed and our future, and we just keep going doing the same old stuff? I was at a funeral this week for a man and woman of God who they fought the fight and they kept the faith. As I was greeting the family, I just had this suspicion that somebody confirmed later to me And they said none of their kids are still in church. Now, I don't know what went wrong. I can't say what. I'm not even pointing the finger. But I do genuinely believe sometimes we are so short. Well, scripturally, the only way that happens is when we're short-sighted. We're more worried about today. Well, don't you get up there and preach about those kids just because they don't pray. You don't understand the kids. They have lives and they have chores and they have school and they're very busy, Pastor. You shouldn't just get on them because and then you wonder why they're not walking with God. Because we're not building a system that outlasts us. My only concern in life, I want all three of my boys to pay close attention. There's nothing that's more dear to me, not one thing, than to make sure when I'm gone, they're still ticking on and they're serving God with all diligence. That's the only thing that matters. But it's not just going to happen because I bring them to church. I learned a long time ago, I can make them go to church. But they're going to reach an age where I can't make them anymore. So maybe I ought to try my approach a little differently. I might have went too far the other way. I don't know. But I think they're all doing pretty good. And I'm going to say this too. I don't say this stuff much. Don't be talking about my kids. Look at your own life. Take the beam out of your own eye. California Islamic scholar Mustafa Qazwini. If I had a name of Qazwini, I'm not sure I'd ever show my face in public again. But Mustafa said this just recently. He said, I want to die a martyr. He said, I pray I exit this life as a martyr just like, and I'm sorry, wherever you are, Khomeini. This would be the supreme leader of Iran that was killed in the first airstrikes. Watch, he said, not in a hospital bed. We ask Allah every day that we are killed and martyred in his path. That bothered me. Here I'm hearing the very Islamic nation that we all rail against and preach against Islam. But yet they've built a system that outlasts them, any one person. They want to die. They're praying every day that they can die. A martyr. But so many Christians, well, the Lord understands that I can't pray. The Lord understands fasting is hard for me. The Lord, I can do everything else. I could preach right now. I can excel in sports. I can start businesses. I could teach classes on how to look good. But I can't pray. Your trophies, your money, and your clothes will all burn with you. What profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I am calling upon this church this year, and I know everybody's not here. I know half of them aren't here. I'm calling upon you, those of you that will listen, to make a decision tonight, not tomorrow. Well, let me go think about it. I'm going to pray about it. That's dumb. You don't have to pray about this. I'm calling on you tonight to make a decision that I'm going to start growing up, and I'm going to continue to grow up. And I'm going to build a family that outlasts any storm. I'm going to build a walk with God that outlasts any trial, any tribulation. I'm going to teach my kids to outlast any hateful statements. I'm going to teach them to outlast any harm. I'm going to teach them to outlast. Come on, listen. You don't do any of these things by running and living on a spiritual merry-go-round. You do it by digging your feet in and confronting every giant that comes and knocks on your door and that stands on your doorstep. I will remind you that the Philistine army, along with their champion, Goliath of Gath, came to Israel's doorstep. They did not wait for Israel to come to their country. They said, no, we're going to come to your house. We're going to knock on your door. Everything that you experience, you live, that's because the adversary feels comfortable coming to your doorstep. He thinks he can win. But this year, you have got to make a decision. I am going to grow. I'm not going to play cops and robbers anymore. I'm going to fight with faith. I'm going to fight with spiritual authority because I'm going to grow in God more than I have ever grown in God. And that devil will not want to come and knock on my door. He will not want to come to my doorstep. He'll know that I am a child of God and that I'm not strong in myself, but I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And I don't live in fear, but I live in the authority that God has imparted in me. You see, to Islam, religion isn't a game. Islam, and I'm not saying, listen, we need grace and we got to preach grace, but they're not preaching it at all. And they're growing. What's happening to the church in America? Growing is not gaining 50 people from a church split. That's not growth. That's stupid. Talking to a pastor, I'm almost done. I was talking to him, and I love brand new people that know nothing every day of the week. And I said, amen. Really? Now, God has brought us some great people. We don't have a lot of people that come from other churches, but the ones we have are quality people that I do believe that God has brought. I really do. Brother and Sister Klein, and I know we're still all new in this relationship, but I have believed in you guys from the day that I met you. I really have. I really, really, really have. Brother and Sister Edwards, and younger and older, you guys have been nothing but, I mean, a blessing beyond a blessing beyond a blessing. Brother Kao, you and your family, really, I mean that. I mean that. And everybody doesn't know you the way I do. But I from the day I first met you, I ain't going to lie to you. I thought, man, we need to spend some time together. But I've told anybody, including my bishop, I said that man has a pure heart. He has a pure desire. He loves God. I'm telling you, it's what I said. You all know me. I'm not a liar. Sister Pat, we gained you during COVID. We're the lucky ones. I feel sorry for that church that lost you. I'm serious. I know you didn't have an apostolic background, but man, I don't know, you might be more godly than some apostolics that I know. And the list goes on. I'm looking at you guys. I don't remember how you started coming, Brother and Sister Kanda, but I love you and I appreciate you. I appreciate your heart. And again, I could just keep going. I got to stop. But I'm saying, you know, we got to get some babies in this church. We got to find some broken people. Don't be afraid of the broken people. Every one of us were there at one point. Angela, I got to be honest with you. I'm going to say it from the pulpit. I don't know how long you've been coming yet. Man, for a while, I'm like, God, we just got to get them consistent. Oh, my gosh. They'll show up for a while. They'll disappear for a while, show up for a while. And you know this. I know you're okay with me saying this. And I longed for the day where you just be consistent. And I think we finally arrived. Now, you hit a couple speed bumps there and here and there, but we're going to give you that. And look at Justin now. Justin's hanging out with you. He goes to Midwinter. He got baptized. This isn't a game. Let me read my last text, and you don't have it. I'm Matthew 11 and 20. I'm reading five verses. It's only 8:16. Have I done okay? Any naysayers? Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. And Jesus began to preach, and he began to chide, rebuke, upbraid the cities where his mighty works were done, because they didn't repent. They didn't change. He'd done all kind of... Anybody here, God's done some great things? It's so we can change. So we live a repentant life and we don't go down the same paths as others. Then he says, woe unto thee, Chorazin. I don't even know if I pronounced that right. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Brother Klein, are you a history guy? Okay, I had a feeling you were, because we're a lot alike. I'm just a little better looking, but that's not your fault. I was watching a documentary last night on Alexander the Great. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've never studied the man, but man, what a guy he was. Wow. And they start talking about when he invaded the city of Tyre, which happened after Sidon. And Tyre was all, it was out in the water about, I don't know what, I can't remember the exact distance. I'm going to put it at probably a couple hundred yards. And it was just completely in the middle of the ocean sea, whatever it was there. He spent 7 months and had to build a road by all of the old stone from the old city of Tyre that had been destroyed, and they used all that rubble. And then they got halfway out there. They were close enough to the archers, and they started shooting them. And then they built these big I can't remember what you call them, towers, and so they could use them as a shield. Then they had a huge navy. Tyre did, and so they would ram. They would light a boat on fire and run it into this bridge, and caught all these big towers he built on fire, and it set him back. He had to start at nothing, and so then he wouldn't give up. He just kept on and kept on and kept on, and so he had to go to Plan B and Z, and so finally they decided. He started throwing big stones overboard of this bridge he's building out to the city, and they're tied to ropes. And then the inhabitants of Tyre, they're swimming underwater and cutting the rope. So then he made chains so they couldn't cut them. My mind's failing me. Then he went back to the cities he'd already conquered, and he gathered this huge navy together, like 270 ships or something like that. And then he created a blockade while he finished the road. Eventually, and I was fascinated, because I thought, wow, that's science in the Bible. Tyre and Sidon in the Bible. I didn't know that was, you know, I don't know if all this was during Alexander's time. It was B.C. But Jesus said, it'll be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than you. You, me. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. God is coming for his church, and he's calling us to repentance. If we have to start all over again, and he is calling us to mature, he's calling us to stop being short-sighted, stop being narrow-sighted, stop being selfish-sighted. He's calling us to stop playing games, and he's calling us to grow up, and he's calling us to be a vessel that operates for the glory and the kingdom of God. Would you stand with me? With all my heart, I thank you for letting me preach my heart to you. Sunday is going to be a little different. I feel like God's already given me a word It's probably going to be more along the lines of consecration. I feel like God wants us to consecrate ourselves on a whole different level. I see what God is doing. He's lining things up. All I want to ask you, please don't step out of your seat unless this applies to you. If you will take this to heart, no matter where you think you are in God, and if you will say, this year, I'm going to grow up just a little bit more. I'm not going to hold anything back. I am going to sacrifice. I called Brother Tyler today. You guys think I go easy on Brother Tyler? When I go out to eat with him, and it's been a while, probably because he didn't want to buy me lunch anymore. I make him pay. I said, Brother Tyler, I said, I just need to know. I talked to the church about this being a year of sacrifice. I said, are you on board with me? I knew what his answer was going to be, but I wanted to hear it. And that is what I'm saying again to you tonight. Sacrifice shouldn't scare us, because if God is asking more, God is getting ready to do more. God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Lord, I've done what I can do. God, I pray that you would do now what you do. Lord, stir this in our heart. Stir it in our spirit, God. Lord, speak to us individually. Speak to us collectively, oh God. You know the things you've already talked to people about. God, give us the strength that we need. The strength, God, to be who you've called us to be. The strength, God, to grow more. To put away some childish things, oh God, and to grow in you. I would say anything that does not have spiritual roots in it is childish. I love my jet skis. One's gone, the other one's going on the auction block. Why? Because I feel like this year, God says, I want you to just focus on what we're doing here. And that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. I know the Lord is speaking to your heart. I can see it in your faces. Would you please just talk to him right now? While they sing, would you please? If you don't know, then ask God. God, what is it? What is it? What is it, God? What is it? What is it? What is it? This year, I'm going to be more accountable. This year, I'm going to be more submitted. I'm going to stop making excuses on why I can't. I'm going to stop being afraid of submission. God, this year, I'm going to give more to prayer than I've ever given before. I'm going to give more this year. God, I'm going to stop making excuses on why I can't fast on Wednesdays. This year, I'm doing it. Starting next week, I'm doing it. Starting right now, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Today is the day. Ha. Lord, we got to crucify this flesh so we get victory over it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
My Savior, the one.
Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He will never fail. I trust in God. My Savior.
I want you just to play. We're going to transition so those on the platform can join us here. Pray with me for a few minutes tonight. Pray with me for a few minutes. Let's let God continue to do what He's doing. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. God, if just this group here tonight would take this to heart with everything in them, God, You'll change the trajectory. Hallelujah.